This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
My thanks again to the voice of the Padres forevermore, Don Orsillo, for joining us in our last segment. Didn't get a firm number on that. He said, "No, I mean it's a good chunk of time."
I love it
going forward. I think the reporting was at least through the end of this decade.
Oh man!
But with the option, perhaps, of going longer than that as well.
Makes me very happy, man. Just a part of all of our lives. You know, he makes it better. And somebody, our buddy Jeff in the chat said, I'm in a great mood now. Don's energy is infectious. And it's absolutely right. I mean, it's totally that. He puts you in a good mood. And he and Mud together is PB&J, dude. It is truly incredible. And, man, I just love him. I love him. And talking to him off the air is it's the best. Like, he got a little spicy, right, talking about the Red Sox there. But to hear, you know, the unvarnished story, I mean, what they did to him is beyond insanity. And it makes zero sense. As he mentioned, they were doing a great job. They were winning. The team was winning. Him and Jerry Remy were a great pair. Ratings were good. People like them. Why would you mess with that?
You know, and there is some truth to what he said and we said about there are so many people who are willing to do this job, and you got to feel lucky that you have it.
Sure.
But
you also have to know your worth.
But at the same time, you don't think the Red Sox would undo that decision if they could and realize, hey, we had a pretty good thing in Don Orsillo, and we let it get away for what? You know?
Yeah.
Nothing.
For what?
For nothing. And we could have kept him happy and here for a long time.
Yeah.
So he did. He actually did have leverage. He didn't know it, and the Red Sox didn't know it at the time. Now clearly they do know it. Sam Levitt's going to join us. He's currently in the Mike Schilt scrum at the Peoria Sports Complex. So we'll get to that in just a second. First, though, it's time for our biggest fan announcement. I see Ashley's in the chat just here for the biggest fan, hoping to hear her name called. If she does, she will have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 and qualify for our grand prize drawing of a 20-ticket night in the Odyssey Suite at a Padres game. You and your friends enjoying our luxurious suite. It's right behind home plate, just to the left of home plate. Really great spot in Petco Park for an upcoming game this season. You can register your name at 973thefan.com/biggestfan and then listen three times every weekday, 9 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 5:30. All right, here we go. Today's biggest fan. Sorry, Ashley, it's not you. It is Peter Garrow from San Diego. Peter Garrow from San Diego. You are the biggest fan. You've got 10 minutes to call us back now at 833-288-0973. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan.
What are we waiting on? Sammy is at a scrum.
Schilt was a few minutes late. He was supposed to talk at 8:50.
He is chatting right now. I can see because Sammy's camera's on. So in his little window that I've got in our computer, I can see everyone gathered around the backdrop. yeah. where Mike Shildt does his daily. They're on the patio, right where we'll be broadcasting live at this time next week. Next Wednesday morning, we will be sitting right there on that patio and going into our final hour of the show. Now, it'll be 10 o'clock in the morning in Arizona because the time has not changed yet, but we will be out there next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday
Correct.
Broadcasting live.
It's going to be hot, isn't it?
It looks like it, based on the 10-day forecast, that it'll get into the 80s. Yeah.
Hope I don't pass out again.
We've already got a plan to either bring
my
or
buddy
buy
last night,
some shade.
I was telling him, yeah, we're heading out next Tuesday, and he goes, didn't Woods get, like, violently ill?
It wasn't violent. It just hit me out of nowhere. And again, like, I think you guys would know, I would tell you, oh, we went out boozing last night. We went and got tuned up last night at Explicit. No, we didn't do anything. I think Paulie and I ate spaghetti in a bucket, and Ben worked. And next thing you know, I'm sitting out there, and my eyes, like, cross. I start to see stars with, well, we had about 45 minutes left, and I went green, and I just felt like death.
Yeah, fantasy camp is a little more fun. Obviously,
yeah.
You're playing baseball. I go out and play some golf. We try to go out and eat and have a good time. Spring training trip's a work trip.
Yeah,
you know,
working.
I'm doing TV.
Yeah, it's a grind.
Guys, you know, we're taping content and interviews. It's pretty much an all-day grind when we're there.
Yeah.
Not that we don't enjoy it.
Freaking blast. Oh, my God, it's
but
a blast.
It's definitely not the party trip.
No.
Out to spring training. So, yeah, you definitely not out late drinking or anything in Arizona.
Satan's Blowfish says, the bucket of spaghetti didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe. It might have been. Paulie was fine, though. Paulie also had a bucket of spaghetti.
He definitely had it. It was heat exhaustion.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Like dehydration or something?
Yeah.
It just got me, man. It just got me, and it zapped me.
It was about 9 o'clock, like the last hour.
It was about the last hour. And I was done. And I went and laid down in the car. And then Paulie, you drove home, and there's Ben and I passed out in the car. It's still the best video of all time of me just in the back.
Driving the olds back to their home.
Yeah, we got an easy up. We are getting an easy up. We're going to drive out. We're going to get our credentials. Then we're going to stop by.
That's a shade tent.
Yeah, we're going to stop by the Dick's and grab an easy up and keep ourselves in the shade. Is it going to be cold in the morning?
It looked like it was only going to be in the 50s,
okay,
which is not
doable.
So bad. We were there a couple years ago, and it was in the 30s.
But then you start peeling layers off the morning.
Cold.
I mean, it really is. You get the whole experience.
This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professionals, utilizing award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. What do you love?
Prolific the Greats is just buy a hat umbrella. You know, the hats that have the umbrellas over the top. I'll get one with two Budweiser in each side.
It's possible the Padres will nix our idea of a tent. I mean, it is their...
Wait, really?
It's their compound. They can say what they were allowed to bring onto it and not allowed to bring onto it. So,
do you think that they will prohibit us from bringing a tent out?
I don't know. I mean, if we have the wrong sponsor or something on it, you know, maybe they have another sporting goods sponsor. They can't have a Dick's tent out there. So we have to be careful about what we bring onto campus.
Shouldn't they then give us one?
I don't know if they have extra ones. They may be using all of theirs at spring training.
Oh, boy.
I'm just warning you.
All right, fine. I'll bring one of those umbrellas, like a parasol, and I'll sit there daintily with a parasol as I'm interviewing Jake Cronenworth.
All right, looks like Sammy has wrapped up with Mike Shildt and is sitting down with us now. Shall we just go to him at the moment? All right, let's go out to Peoria, Arizona, onto the back patio where Sam Levitt, spring training Sammy, is joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. Any big news from Mike Shildt in the last 6 minutes, Sammy?
Yes, has anybody broke the news of who is starting the Cactus League opener on Friday?
This is your big chance.
It's happening. Here we go. Live here on 97.3 The Fan. Right-hander Ryan Burgert will start on Friday against the Seattle Mariners.
I like
AJ Casterville beat you to it on Twitter. Sorry.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? We're over the air here.
I like that.
Local on 97.3 The Fan.
Ryan Burgert.
Ryan Berger will start the Cactus League opener.
Are we sure the G isn't silent?
It's not Berger.
Or Berger.
Berger. Ryan Berger.
No, I can confirm it is Ryan Berger. So, interesting. I don't know that that would have been my prediction just as far as the guys competing for that final rotation spot, but obviously somebody who has a lot of experience at the upper levels of the minor leagues now, and nice. Sounds like they want to see what they got. So
ooh, I like
it. Ryan Burgert. Doesn't sound like it'll be a piggyback situation with another starter type going on Friday. We'll see. They'll put out the pitching lineup, I'm sure, late Thursday or by Friday. But yeah, Ryan Burgert pitching on Friday.
All right, you've already been in the clubhouse as well, and I saw that you had a chance to speak with the newest Padre, Yuli Gurriel, with the translator there. But some interesting comments, Sam. Obviously, was asked, you know, the incident from the 2017 World Series with Yu Darvish, and tell us about his response to that. I thought it was some good comments.
Yeah, I thought, you know, he responded to it well. You know, he essentially said that you would come over and said hello to him. He appreciated that he came over and said hi, and that he's grateful and happy to be his teammate. So from what Yuli said today, it seems like, you know, those guys have moved past it and looks like no issue, which is obviously a very good thing. So aside from that about the Darvish situation, it's a couple of other interesting things from Gurriel, you know, what he can bring. Obviously talked about his experience, his time with the Astros, mentioned that he works out with Manny Machado in the offseason, and Manny would tell him about the team, the potential, the success they've had as a group. So clearly there's a connection there with Manny. And on the Yu Darvish history, sounds like that is, you know, from what Yuli said today, pretty much all good between the two, and said that that Yu had went over and said hi to him.
He did in his first AB yesterday, yes. Which I found just, I mean, it's baseball in a nutshell. Goes out and hits a bomb against Michael King. You saw Michael King just kind of turn away in disgust after giving up a take.
Tati take King to the wall as well.
Did he? Oh,
so,
man.
I don't know. Are we concerned about Michael King?
Is Michael King on the hot seat? I think people want to know right now. And you know, the thing with the Ryan Berger getting that call, I don't know how much it means. You know, I don't know how much it means, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. It doesn't. I don't think it really matters at all. It's just the plan that they've set in place. But yeah, man, these are people that and players that you're going to be counting on or trying to count on potentially yeah. even this season. So I do like it, man. I do like it. I think in our minds, we all think, well, why wouldn't it be Michael King, you know, getting start one or Dylan Cease or anything like that? It doesn't really work that way in spring training. There really are no rules.
No.
You can do whatever you want.
I don't think in spring training you can, especially when it comes to pitching schedules, that you can read into a ton of it one
yeah.
way or another. Look, I also think it may speak a little bit to the fact that nobody has a chokehold on that fifth and final spot, right? I mean, you know, none of these guys you would say right now have, you know, that much of an advantage maybe above others for that fifth and final spot. So maybe they view Ryan Burgert as a real, you know, a real possibility there and want to see him. Could be a little bit of this bit of the throwing schedule as well. You know, like interesting today, and this is going to be a first for me here at spring training. Yu Darvish will throw a live BP today, but he will actually throw it at the stadium across the way here in Peoria, and they have not done that in my time. Mike Schilt talked a little bit about it. Good opportunity to get over there, being a little bit more of a real game setting. I don't know who Darvish is going to face today, but every pitcher and every situation obviously is a little bit different. And you guys know, even as we get into March, you'll have times where you might see a Yu Darvish, Michael King, Dylan Cease, whomever, throw in a B game rather than throw
yep.
in a Cactus League game, and they could throw 3-4 innings, and that just be part of their progression. So again, you got to take, I think, the pitching schedules always with a little grain of salt, but interesting that Burgert's getting the start nonetheless, and I'm looking forward to getting over to the stadium today and seeing Yu Darvish over there.
So Sammy, kind of a broad question, and maybe yeah. not one that you can pinpoint, but I, you know, we've been out there every year since we've been here. You've been out there a bunch as well. A couple years ago, the vibe was, you know, obviously really high. You spent a lot of money, expected to kind of waltz into the playoffs. That didn't happen. Last year, the vibe was better, but it was a new manager, and everyone was still kind of unsure. And by the end of camp, you know, I think they were clicking. What's it like? What's it been like this year? I mean, you got Dylan Cease, you know, potential trade, chip. You got Luis Arraez, who was a potential trade chip. You've got Michael King and arbitrary, like all of these things coming around. But there is a new culture installed. How are the guys, you know, the vibe of the team?
I would say that the things I'm noticing, I'll give you a couple of words here. Number one, I would say continuity. Even though there's no Jerks and Profar, there's no Ha Sung Kim, there are key members of this team from the last handful of years that are not here. It does feel to me like there's a real sense of continuity. And you think about having Mike Schilt, this coaching staff back, you think about all the core players that are still here. Whether you ask Jackson Merrill about it or Jake Cronenworth about it or Manny or Xander, I think these guys like what they got in this locker room. And obviously the core, the stars, they're the same guys that were here a year ago, minus Jerks and Profar, who obviously had a great year. I get a real sense that they are confident in the group they have. They're not just saying that. And that there's a sense of continuity. The other word I would use is health. I think Manny Machado feels great, not coming off elbow surgery. We just talked to Luis Arraez inside the clubhouse. Mike Schilt talked about it a few minutes ago as well. I don't think that we really understood with Luis Arraez how difficult that was for him last year and how remarkable it was that he won a batting title basically without, you know, a thumb of use, and how much pain he was in. You know, how much work it took, how much planning it took to get him out there and for him to be as productive as he was. I think Luis feels great. He had surgery on that thumb, as you guys know, in mid-October, did not swing until late January. It was a really different offseason for him. Him and his wife took a trip to Paris in December. He's not a guy who goes on vacation. And I asked him, you know, about only starting to swing in late January, and he told me he's ready, and he seems really confident and ready to go. So the fact that he's healthy, and Manny's coming in fully healthy, Xander is not worried about playing a different position and the impact that's going to have on his body, all the different movements he was getting used to last year. These things are real when it comes to health. So everybody's, you know, healthy. Knock on wood, it continues to stay that way. But, you know, it just feels like a healthy, confident group that has a lot of continuity to it. And, you know, look, this time of year, it's easy to get excited. And when you're around here every day, you start to feel that confidence and excitement that this team, you know, is going to be just fine.
Sam, did Luis Arraez address selectivity at the plate at all? Because we've heard that the Padres would like him to walk more, but also don't want to take away what makes him Luis Arraez. So it's
tough
kind of a
needle to thread,
kind of a
man.
Fine line there, because you know, when you make a lot of contact, you're not going to draw a lot of walks. So did he say anything about that, or what have you heard there?
I don't recall him saying anything today about selectivity in particular. He did get asked about his ability to you know, if he wanted to hit some more home runs. And again, he leaned, you know, on all that stuff today, he leaned on his health and the fact that he's healthy. And when he's healthy, you know, I think he's more of a complete hitter, even though obviously he hits for a very, very high average. So I don't recall him saying anything about being more selective per se, but I think the healthy Luis Arraez, the hitter, is a version of him that for the most part last year we didn't get to see. So I'm excited to see it, and we'll see if that comes with him being more selective.
You also talked to Dylan Cease. I think Jake Cronenworth as well. Dylan Cease looking very much like a North Park beer tender
big time
at this point. But both guys have come up in trade rumors, yet neither of them seem that bothered by it. Sammy, is that kind of the impression that you've gotten from both of them?
Yeah, got that impression totally today. I mean, Dylan C said it doesn't upset him, doesn't affect him. You know, he's just kind of rolling with it. And I think also you have to keep in mind he's been involved in trade rumors a lot over the last few years. And obviously it was really heavy trade rumors this time last year when he was still with the White Sox. You know, Jake Cronenworth got asked a little bit about it as well. Doesn't seem like it's affected him. You know, Jake kind of echoed those same things that we've heard from the other guys as far as the room of guys they have here. I will say, just as a funny side note, the Dylan Cease beard, I would say, is one of the major talks around spring training right now. And he's not sure if he's going to keep it or not. And he was asking the fans for what they want and even said that you can DM him and tell him what you want. So you can do that if you're listening out there. You can DM Dylan Cease and provide your opinion on what he should do with his pretty big beard.
It's burly.
I mean, he's got a lot going on with that beard. So
I'll say this.
We'll see if he keeps it.
Your buddy shows up. You haven't seen him in 6 months. And your buddy shows up with that beard. You're immediately concerned. I'm just going to tell you right now. Your buddy shows up with that beard. You're like, is everything okay? Are you okay? Oh, I'm great. Have you ever heard of a comb? Or a beard trimmer, perhaps? He keeps it a little bushier than maybe that I would like it.
Take some lessons from Eric Rupner.
Oh, my God. Could he ever? Jeez. That thing is locked in, bro. That's professionally done. There's no way group gets in the mirror. It would take an hour and a half. That thing is professionally done. Dylan Cease is just letting it flow. Hey, whatever works. I don't care what you do. If you go out and get outs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's, let me see. What is Dylan doing right now? He's on the bullpen mound right now. I don't know what that contraption is called where, like, you know, he's, like, they're kind of pulling him
like
while
a track
he's
man?
Doing, I don't, no, no.
No, he's running track. And they're it's pulling
around,
him?
No, he's not running. He's on the mound. It's around his waist. I'm,
he's
I'm
plowing
really
the
sure.
field. He's
I'm
like,
not really sure what,
is he on a meat wheel?
Called. No.
the wheel of meat. Okay.
He's on a mound and Ruben Niebla is there along with a couple of other coaches, but they're working on
this. This is breaking stuff.
I love this.
News.
Yeah. Sam, I can't wait to see it for myself in just one short week. I love it. Sammy, you're the best.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sam Lovett, spring training Sammy from Peoria, Arizona. We got to take a timeout. We'll get some traffic from Kelly. And then we will be back. Last couple of segments, we still have our Rindle report. I would like to talk more about the ball strike challenges that are coming to spring training this year. We'll get to that all coming up on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, hey, gang. It is Woodsy. It's a very easy transition there for me. Listen, was telling you guys earlier about Extreme Roofing, came out to the house on Friday, did a zero cost estimate. That means it didn't cost me anything to have them come out. And I love the attention to detail. Josh came out, introduced himself. First time I'd met them, man. And listen, with, yes, did you
just
want to say?
Instead of a pop-up tent, you should bring an extreme roof.
I wonder if they have a portable extreme roof that I could use to keep away from potential rain.
Exactly.
Or the heat. But if your roof is leaking right now and you don't have a roofer, you need to call these guys. These guys are the best at what they do. Family-owned company, 25 years servicing San Diego. They do the job right the first time, all the time. And again, a no-cost estimate. They'll come out, take a look at it, walk around the side of your house, check out all the wood, everything that is it could be potentially wrong. And again, this is something to note. If your roof is close to 15 years or older, call them. All right? Call them now. Don't wait till your roof collapses into your kitchen, okay? Don't hesitate. Make the call today. The entire team ready to serve you at Extreme Roofing. Financing is available. Extreme Roofing is 619-334-ROOF. 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 Or go online to extremeroofs.com.
All right, Rob Manfred went through it again yesterday and when he was talking to reporters in Arizona. But it is official, starting actually, tomorrow, with the first spring training game, it's the Dodgers playing the first one, and then everybody else gets underway on Friday. They will have a full ball strike challenge system this spring. At every ballpark that has two teams, so including Peoria, Padres and Mariners, Glendale, Surprise, Salt River Fields, and Goodyear. So I think those five ballparks, any game played, so that's the majority of spring training games. You'll have a few here and there on the road where you don't have it. For the most part, you will see it during spring training. How does it work? Well, when a pitch is called a ball or a strike, the batter, the pitcher, and the catcher all have the chance within a couple of seconds to challenge the call. If it was a ball, then the pitcher or the catcher can tap their head and instigate a challenge. It will then appear on the screen at the ballpark, like in tennis, and it'll show the box, and it'll show whether it was a strike or a ball. If it was, in fact, a ball and the challenge is unsuccessful, you will lose one of your two challenges. If you lose them both, you're done for the game. If you are correct, challenge keep the two, or if you have one left, keep your one, and the call is overturned, and it switches. And same for the batter. If it's called a strike, you think it's a ball, he can tap his helmet. They do the quick check, and then, you know, the count instead of 0-1 would be 1-0. Major League Baseball is encouraging players to use it liberally during spring training just to get used to it going.
Yeah.
Which may not be how, if it is implemented in Major League Baseball in 2026, I doubt it will be used liberally.
Correct.
You'll have to be, I mean, you definitely don't not want to be without a challenge when you get to like the eighth or the ninth inning.
No question.
It's a full count and the bases are loaded and there's a pitch in the dirt and the umpire goes, strike three. And you're going, we don't have any challenges left because someone challenged a 1-0 pitch in the third inning
and
was wrong about it. So you're going to have to be judicious about your use of challenges if this is the system that is adopted by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm curious to see the turnaround time on it, you know, because, again, the fact that it's two challenges a game now could absolutely change. Right? It could absolutely change. It's different, man. It's different than in football. It's different than in other sports. You challenge something, and you know, I think about the National Lacrosse League, Ben, where I call games for the San Diego Seals. When Patrick Merrill reaches in his pocket and he throws that red challenge flag, I realize I've got time to go get in my car, drive down to Carl's Jr., get a burger, and come back before it's actually done. Honestly, the video setup ain't great. It takes a lot to look at. Baseball's not going to work that way. It's got to be quick. It's got to be, you got to be on it. Do you think three people is too many? Do you think it should be catcher and hitter instead of all three? What if?
I mean, the pitcher, I mean, those are the only three that should have any immediate idea of whether it's right or wrong.
Wouldn't the catcher and the hitter be better, one or the other?
I feel like a pitcher has just as much instinctual knowledge of what is a strike or not. I mean, some are going to be better at it than others.
They're so good.
I don't think the number of people challenging is going to make a difference because the challenges are fixed. I mean, you know, the third baseman can't do it. The first baseman can't do
it.
It's just those three that are involved directly in. I will say this. The accuracy rate, the best umpires are usually about 95 to 97% accurate. The worst umpires are like 88 to 90% accurate, but that still means
still very good.
5 to 10. That's still very good, but still 5 to 10% of calls are wrong, which means pretty much every inning there's a wrong call. So, how often do you think we will see these challenges?
There's
literally like every inning there's at least usually one ball or strike ball that's off.
Tyler says, I could see managers telling the pitchers to leave it up to the catchers. 1,000%. Be like, if you put your hand on your head.
The pitcher's more emotionally invested. The batter's supremely emotionally invested.
Yeah.
Because they only get the, three or four at-bats a game.
Yep.
And you're down to like a 2-2 pitch, and it's a borderline strike three. The instinct is going to be hard to challenge that if you're a batter. And you know, I can get out of a strikeout.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can turn a strikeout into a walk.
But the thing is, you're still, okay, let's say you turn it, you get it out of a strikeout. Guess what? You still got two strikes on you.
You do.
Right? Like, and that's not a good hitter's
count.
Wait
until, say, hey, it's got to be 3-2 if you're going to do it. And you got to be confident that it's that you're right.
But think
and it's
about how
3-2.
Bro, think about how a guy goes up, grinds out, you know, a couple of balls, and it's 1-0. He grinds out a ball, it's 1-0. Then he gets that BS strike call. Now it's 1-1. Then he gets another BS strike call. Now it's 1-2. I should be sitting here at a minimum 2-1. 2-1, I'm ready to eat. I'm hunting something that I can do damage with. The reaction is to say on a close pitch, on a 1-1 count, I don't want to be 1-2. I want to be 2-1. It's going to be really hard to tell these guys.
My guess is before it's implemented on the big league level, they will practice it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they will set pitching machines like, you know, all right, we're going to miss it by
right
2 inches.
Right on the corner.
We're going to miss it by 1 inch and see how accurate players are. And then you have a system. Like, if you're 100% sure the umpire is wrong, go ahead. Doesn't matter. If you know for sure, you can challenge it just about any time. Now, if it's late in the game and we need to use it or lose it challenge, if you have like a 60% inkling, this might be an important spot. Maybe you do use it.
How about those brilliant catchers? And again, I know the old heads hate the glove down, but when you see it in motion, bro, they are stealing strike after it's truly amazing. When we were at camp, batter doesn't see it. I was trying to do it as like a bit just to see what it was like. It's really hard to do. It's an art form. That's why they teach it. They're stealing so many strikes. So what if that catcher steals one, and that pitcher taps his head, and he's like, no, dummy, I stole that. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds of...
Well, if it's called a strike, the pitcher's not going to challenge it. Yeah,
called a ball, but the catcher...
Oh, you fooled...
You fool your own pitcher. That's how good those guys are. Yeah. And so I think this is fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I think it's absolutely fascinating.
We'll be watching this closely.
It's a great conversation to have with Mike Schilt. You know, a great conversation to have. Have you thought about this? Every year you got these new things you got to think about, shifts and whatever, but I think this one could be potentially pretty fun.
All right, we're going to take our final time out. Paulie's got a Rindle report coming up next, including a big-time return to the broadcasting booth coming up here next month.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, GEGE000466.
All right, one more time, 7 Mile Casino. It's our spot. You just hop on the 5 freeway if you're in downtown, go south, Chula Vista, and 7 minutes later, you're peeling off, and on the west side of the freeway, you're pulling right into the parking lot at 7 Mile Casino. You walk right in, and the tables are right in front of you.
Boom.
There. It's not big, but it's nice. It's upscale. It's a good spot to hang.
Man, the thing is like it's perfectly sized, right? It's perfectly sized. It doesn't feel like a small, dingy card room, but it also doesn't feel like a gargantuan casino that you're going to get lost in.
Conference rooms for the convention
call. Correct. No. You walk in, it's a cool place, great food, no cigarettes allowed, no smoke, no cigars, smoke-free environment.
Ballroom D, and you're right there at the poker room.
Yeah, no elevators, anything like that. You just walk in and play cards and have some great, great lunch or breakfast or dinner. These guys do it right at 7 Mile Casino. Best part, just 7 minutes from our beloved Petco Park. So next time you're in the area, it's 7 minutes away. Check it out for yourself at 7 Mile Casino.
Final segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is there to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent. Today. We'll check traffic and then get right to our Rindle report to wrap things up on a Wednesday here on 97.3 The Fam.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Good morning, my friends.
Morning.
I will start with a baseball story in just a moment. I did want to just take a second and get a little personal and let you guys know what's going on. I've kind of been quiet this morning and dealing with a lot of things behind the scenes. This morning at about 6:30, right when we went to a commercial break, I got a text from my mom. And I called her immediately. I went out in the hallway and I called her, and she was crying hysterically. Her sister, my aunt, passed away overnight.
Oh,
and,
sorry, Paul.
Yeah, it's been tough. I'm not super close with her anymore, but I grew up with her and my cousin.
Like, gnarly.
Anytime I mentioned my cousin, it's her mom.
Yeah,
or his mom, and we would always hang out at their house. And just to get a call from your mom,
it's the worst.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like you're not. And I don't know that it matters how old you are, whether you're a kid, a teenager, an adult, 50, 60 years old. Hearing your parents cry,
it's the worst.
Is awful. And so my mom lives like 3 hours away from her mother, who lost her daughter overnight.
Right.
And my Nana is in her 80s, and she's doing okay physically. A lot of surgeries and stuff. She's had a rough go.
Yeah,
and
but you get that call.
So, I mean, the first thought is...
Oh God!
Is somebody with Nana?
Right.
You know, is she okay? So my mom's driving over to Seattle to be with her as soon as she can. I don't know what this means for me if I have a trip to make or anything like that. Figuring it out. But I told you guys right away.
And, yeah, man.
You guys were both there for me.
Paulie Soldier's on the entire show.
It's been a good distraction.
Yeah,
we've been a very busy morning today, and you know, my wife was texting me like, "Are you okay? Like, is there anything I can do?" I was like, "This is actually a good distraction to kind of." Clear the brain, but when it's been going on all morning, it's been pretty rough.
Love you, buddy. Love your love to your mom, our beloved Julie.
Julie's my mom.
Yeah, Yeah. Our beloved Julie and your Nana, of course. Yeah. And can you do it for family? You really can't, can you?
Hmm. Shout out to my family?
Shout out to your family, I guess.
You're the one who does it.
I mean, you're the one that does it. It's kind of your call.
You can have it if you want.
I mean, it's just kind of the way we do things.
This is how we do it.
This is how,
it's the most.
Yeah. The most.
It's the highest.
I mean,
it's the highest honor that one can
do it if it was insulting.
So. Correct.
I really hope we can see more unity and more peace. When already things are so difficult. So, shout out to
my shout out to your family.
Thank you, David Guetta.
Cousin Hader says, "Damn it, Woodsy." I mean, I'm just asking the question, dude.
It's a good question.
It's a fair question.
It's a fair question.
I think, you know what?
If you want to skip the Rindle Report, I'm okay with that as well.
He also hates the Rindle. This is not your day to insult the Rindle Report.
No, this is just if Charlie's not up to it or something.
No, we're good.
Okay, I'm.
Just wanted to fill everybody in. All right, let's get started here in Major League Baseball.
You're an idiot.
Benny teased it. Big name returning to the broadcast booth. Joe Buck.
Yes!
Is going to be calling a baseball game.
About time.
Now, he called a game, I want to say last summer. The Cardinals game, they had him in the booth with Harry Carey's son, right?
Oh, that's right. They did. Yeah, it was.
Wait,
like
I thought they were supposed to do it, and then something got canceled.
I thought they did do it.
It was like the Heritage game. Yeah, it was like Chip Carey and
Joe Buck,
the grandsons of the legends.
But that was a local broadcast. He is going to be doing a national broadcast. I've been saying for a while now, ever since Joe Buck left Fox, you haven't really heard him calling baseball. He left Fox for ESPN. He does Monday Night Football with Aikman. But I'm like, look, this is nothing. Carl Ravitch is great. David Cohn's great. I like the Sunday night broadcast for the most part. But it's also like, bro, you have Joe Buck on your roster.
He's sitting out there.
Wants to call baseball games. Use him.
He's sitting out there.
So
people
ESPN,
complained about Joe Buck when he was.
People are idiots.
Yeah, Joe Buck's great.
He's phenomenal.
You don't know what you have until it's gone.
That's right.
So he will be calling for ESPN on opening day, the Brewers-Yankees game. And I don't know who he's calling that game with. Oh, it says joining Buck in the booth will be Joe Girardi.
Oh, wow.
Former Yankees manager and Bill Schroeder, the lead color analyst for the Brewers.
Okay.
So you get a little bit of both sides there.
You're going to get some Bob Uecker stories. That's a promise that broadcast for sure. Joe Buck is, he is elite at calling baseball.
Now,
elite.
Is this coming back like with more regularity, or is this a one-shot deal?
A one-off?
I believe it's just a one-off for this year. I don't know if they're going to have any other, you know, they got their Sunday night crew.
Yeah,
and that's kind of all that ESPN really does. I mean, they'll do a couple.
ESPN Plus
games.
Don't they have some Wednesday night games sometimes?
Do they have over the air? I don't know.
But they have their crew. You're right.
Not Ortega. We love Eddie Ortega.
Eduardo Perez. Yeah.
It's a tough list.
So, there you go. Let's see.
Excited about that.
Did you guys... I don't know that I fully knew this whole story. Nick Castellanos, he...
Did he do it again?
No, he didn't do it again. Did you know he represents himself?
I had no idea. It does not surprise me the slightest.
He was with Scott Boras. He left Scott Boras. He represents himself. He is his own agent.
I love it.
He was talking to the reporters in front of his locker. I believe this was yesterday out at Philly spring training. And here is what he had to say about representing himself.
Why'd you decide to represent yourself? You were with Scott Boras before. What went into that decision?
I think that just now I probably would want the opportunity. And to say like I'm not ever going to be represented again. You know, it's not like I'm against having an agent. I just think that where it was with Scott, I was at a point where, you know, I just wanted the opportunity to speak for myself. You know, I have no malice towards the Boras organization at all. I texted him congrats when that Soto contract came out. He's very good at what he does. But I think that as far as now, if anything pertains to my career, I'd rather just have that conversation with, you know, my employer.
Yeah.
You know.
What does that entail now? I'm not saying you're under contract. Like, do you on your own behalf?
Well, this offseason was like, hey, these trades came out. Is this true?
Right.
You know, I can just go to the person who would be trading it. And then when he tells me no, you know, now I have that information.
So that wasn't like, I mean, you've known Dave a long time. That wasn't was that something you might do in a previous offseason, or is that now a function of representing yourself?
Well, I think that I'm just more comfortable now, that I don't feel intimidated to go to anybody who is employing me to go and ask questions about my well, about my status or well-being, right? But when you're younger and all you know is having an agent, you can feel intimidated, or you're not supposed to go to the general manager of a team and ask a question on your behalf. You'd have to go through your legal representation to go and talk to them, because the one-on-one could be, you know, oh, don't do that. You know, like, I'm over. I'm past that.
I like that a
lot. Thoughtful guy.
How crazy is that?
It's nuts, but you know what? It just
simple, though, also.
It popped into my head that I don't feel like we use our agent enough. I feel like there should be more times, really during the week, when Adam comes in, like he did 2 minutes ago, and says we need to have a conversation about something, talk to my agent. Right? And what am I... That's what you... Isn't that essentially what he just said? Nick Castellanos just said, you know, when you're at a certain point in your career, you feel like you have to answer everything. But we pay him. We have the same agent. We pay him. Could today's phone call be a perfect example of us saying, yeah, great, call our agent? I feel like Dave Rickards would do it.
But you also feel like you're just a big-headed star when you do that. Just call my agent.
Talk to my agent.
I don't like to be that guy who's just like, talk to my agent. I want to be a team player. I want to be cooperative.
But I feel like we don't utilize him enough.
It's a good thought.
Do you feel like he earns his money?
I think the
why didn't you answer me? Answer me.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, if he gets you...
Talk to my agent.
If he gets you more in your contract than you would have gotten yourself, then he's already earned his money.
Correct.
Without doing a single other thing.
That you think that that's where it starts and stops?
Well, I mean, that's where the worth certainly is established. Now, if he's not getting you more, he better be doing a lot of other things for you.
Now, Diesel, another, makes a great point. What did your agent have to say about the Padres roundtable? Nothing, because we never brought it up to him. I feel like that's something I could have...
We try to be good team
players. Try to be a good team player. But I think... That may be something where I can just say, just talk to my agent.
I know. I think secretly Scott Boras is relieved, because Castellanos is not easy to pun with. That is a tough name to come up with a pun for. So he's probably okay with it.
All right. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with this guy's had some bad luck. This guy's going viral on the internet. So much bad luck. Like a year's worth of bad luck in 60 seconds. Let me tell you about
Worst day ever. Yeah.
So he woke up after a long night. At 8 a.m., his alarm was going off. While he was trying to turn off his alarm, he accidentally set off the emergency SOS alert on his Google phone.
I've almost done that like 1,000 times.
This made a blaring sound.
Right.
Started calling 911. He had to figure, stop it, like make sure nobody shows up to his house.
Right.
His phone also, when the emergency siren is going off, it takes pictures.
I did not know this.
Takes pictures and sends it to your 12 emergency contacts.
In case you're being kidnapped or something.
He didn't know that was happening. He was sleeping in the nude.
He was nude.
And sent
12 wiener pics
to all of his
mom,
all
12
dad, emergency
Aunt Betty,
contacts.
My brother, my boss.
Oh, my God. All right, Paul, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you, boys.
We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Annie and Elston are coming up next.
Talk to my agent.
Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Well, let's talk to our agent.